Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast all over the world on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session with myself. Just go to SEOQueen.com and book a Reach More Clients Power Session. Now, I want you guys to remember, I know it's like a year away, but Saturday, July 27th, 2024 is the Reach More Clients Power Conference. So I just want you guys to save the date. We will be sending out more information shortly about that. So I am really excited about my next guest. He's actually a musician. So, you know, musicians have a special place in my heart, as I am a violinist as well. I met him at the Nappy Wood event in Ontario that happened at the beginning. I think it was the beginning of September. Yep, the beginning of September. And I was so impressed with this company, this telehealth company that I think is just on the bleeding edge of both telehealth and AI. So Arshan Ahmed is my guest today. He is the co-founder and CEO of Dermos, a telehealth company creating the world's first remote patient devices for the hair loss industry. I got my scalp examined. My son got his scalp examined. My daughter got her scalp examined. And Brighton, the co-producer of the award-winning documentary, My Nappy Roots, got her scalp examined, and we all were just astonished and amazed at how cutting edge Dermos is. And so Arshan is a former biochemistry and biophysics master's candidate at UC San Diego. He completed his bachelor's of science in biochemistry at UC San Diego with highest honors and was awarded the Department of Chemistry Joe Watson Undergraduate Excellence Award for demonstrating superior academic accomplishments and dedication to advancing the professional community through community involvement, leadership, overcoming adversity, research achievements. Now, I can go on and on about him, but I want to get into this conversation. I want to talk with him now. I wanted to present to some and introduce to others none other than Arshan Ahmed. Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you here. So I wanted to ask you, like, how did you get the idea? How did you find this hair loss problem?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, like many young men in their teens, we start actually losing our hair early. So for me, hair loss started at the age of 18. And, you know, for the longest time, I wasn't even that cognizant of it because, you know, as a teenager, you're focused on so many other things. And I wasn't one of the people who really cared what my hair looked like. So it wasn't until I got into my early 20s that my loss started to progress back, particularly on the frontal region of my scalp, that I started using some of the most common over-the-counter treatments for hair growth, such as Rogaine. You might know it as minoxidil. And after about, I would want to say, 1 year or so of being consistent with using, you know, Rogaine, I didn't really see much of a result. And so I went and I saw a dermatologist who suggested, okay, well, maybe you got to try a different ingredient. And so I went ahead and got a prescription for that one. And that one was finasteride. It was a low dose finasteride because it can have some side effects for men. And again, was on it for about a year and nothing really happened. And so at this point, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, why is it that, you know, I go to one dermatologist and then I, you know, go talk to another hair specialist and they're suggesting different things. And they're saying, you know, just use it for about a year and then come back and we'll check up on you. And after doing this for like 2, 3 years, I was just fed up. I'm like, well, I don't want to, you know, just randomly trial and error, blindly choose a new treatment, hoping that it's going to work for me. And so we set out to build diagnostic tools and technologies that establish the effectiveness of hair growth meds rapidly, within 45 minutes of when you, you know, first, you know, use them as a topical form. And basically, you know, we can rule out whether or not you're going to actually respond to a certain ingredient or not. So you're not wasting your time, energy, and money and sanity on something that just doesn't work. And so that's kind of, it came from a personal problem that I had and so a couple of my colleagues had who are also losing hair on the team. And we slowly rolled it into a technology.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So, I mean, it's not awesome that you were losing your hair, but it's awesome that you...
Well, it's someone's awesome got to sacrifice it, right?
Right. I wanted to be clear. I wanted to be clear there. I don't want you to think that it's a good thing you were losing your hair. So I want to go back, and then I want to go back to Dermos. I want to know, like, how has music influenced your scientific endeavors and your education? I'm just curious about your perspective on that.
This is a really interesting question, and actually not one that I've ever received before. So let me think about that. You know, I have to say that, like anyone who has a hobby, there's always a space that you can go that allows you to clear your mind, detach from, you know, the materialistic world and become a little bit more spiritual. And for me, that's really with music. So I've been a pianist now for probably a little bit more than a decade. And I've played with, you know, really talented musicians from multiple cultures, from, you know, American jazz, blues to, you know, classical Middle Eastern and, you know, Turkish music, Persian music. And I got to say, you know, there's a certain type of communication that happens in music that is immaterial. And it doesn't matter, you know, what your background is. It doesn't matter, you know, what language you speak. In fact, many of our, the folks that I played music with, we didn't even speak the same language. You know, I don't speak Turkish fluently and they don't speak English fluently. So we didn't speak the same language, but we were still able to connect. And I think that throughout my scientific endeavor on becoming a biochemist and really on starting this company, there have been many stressful moments where you need to detach. And definitely music has been there for me. I still consistently play piano a couple hours a week. And it's really therapeutic for me. In fact, you know, I got to say, in the same instance that I sit down in front of 88 keys, ivory keys, and I, you know, I also compose music and I sit there and I think about, okay, well, how can I use this framework that I've learned, the theory of piano, to actually compose new music? It's no different than when I use the framework of what I've learned in science to you know, help establish new technologies. And right. So when you really think about music, once you kind of understand the theory of it, and you, first of all, you got to be passionate about anything to be, you know, good at it. Right.
But at least passion definitely
doesn't hurt. Right. So
right.
Paralleled. Both music and science for me have both paralleled and manifestations independently as their own. And then also have crossed in terms of, you know, when you want to switch from one to the other to take a break. Right.
Right. Something that you said really resonated with me about music being a therapeutic and also a spiritual practice, because as a violinist, I see it the same way. And I spend, you know, several hours a week on my violin as well, in the midst of all the SEO and podcasting and everything else with my team. So I definitely can concur with your perspective on that. So I also want to ask you a question, like, you know, what made you tap into entrepreneurship? So many people aspire to, you know, just be a member of a team. So what shifted in your mindset, you know, as far back as you can remember? What was the moment that gave you the courage or the nerve to say, okay, I see a problem in the marketplace, I'm going to create a solution?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I think you're kind of asking two questions here, and I can give two chronological answers. One of them is, when did I decide that I want to be an entrepreneur? And then how did I come about, you know, solving a problem? And so there's a really famous man by the name of Paul Graham, who was the founder of Y Combinator. And he's talking about how at a very young age, when you're a child, maybe age of 12 or 13, you only know the boundaries of what adults put around you. You know, you have to go to school at a certain time. You got to do your homework. You can't touch this. You can't eat candy or whatever it is, right? And at a very young age, you know, I came to the realization that these boundaries are not physical boundaries. They're just lines that adults have drawn for us as children to keep us kind of in line. And what I realized is that when I can step out of this boundary, even as a young, you know, 13-year-old or 14-year-old, I can start maybe acting like an adult and doing the certain things that adults do. And actually, at you know the age of 13, 14 is when I started my first company. It was an LLC, and we went ahead and contracted, believe it or not, music gigs and DJing for the Carlsbad Unified School District here in San Diego, California. And so, you know, that was actually my first taste of entrepreneurship, and that was my first, you know, stepping out of this boundary, if you will. And then from there, you know, once I realized that, you know, I could adult at a much younger age, it just expanded into other things. I got into, for instance, you know, I got into buying and selling cars. In fact, I bought my first car before I even had a license to even drive a car. and so that's kind of like where the entrepreneurship in turn, it happened with me at a very young age. And as I got older, I built the confidence to push the boundaries more. And you know, starting a company that's very deep tech driven is very challenging, particularly one who, you know, for instance, doesn't have certain type of advanced degrees that we've been led to think are necessary to start tech companies, for instance. And you know, there are many idols out there, you know, such as Bill Gates or Elon Musk, who, you know, did not get those advanced degrees, but you know, pedal to the metal, they understood that they could still push those boundaries.
You know what, that's another topic that I think is really hot right now. It's like if you look at Mark Cuban, he has, I believe, an MBA. Every time I hear him talk about education, he's always a proponent of it. When you look at the statistics on as particularly for African Americans, those who obtain advanced degrees, specifically more in the technical realms, tend to be able to progress economically much easier than those that aren't that get degrees that aren't technical. So I want to know from you, like, has your education, do you think your education has helped you with the formation of your value proposition and bringing it to the marketplace?
I definitely do think that it has, and it's played a very critical role. So some of these boundaries that I was talking about that, you know, I realized that you can break. You know, there's a reason why the boundaries exist in the first place, right? And sometimes being within the boundaries and not breaking out too early is actually beneficial to you, right? Like, for instance, doing a startup while you're still in college is very challenging. You know, other than if you want to go with the learning experience, you know, I actually wouldn't suggest it. You know, you're either you want to be in school, make friends with as many smart technical people as you can, because they're going to end up being your co-founders, right?
I think college is the best place to network.
And I think that's one of the things that many folks miss about school and college is that it is not about grades, right? It's really about learning and about truly understanding the roots of the topic that you're learning and being able to apply it. And so there are some folks who go through school, you know, only caring about grades, and maybe they sacrifice some of, you know, the learning to go along with it, which sounds like, you know, it's a contradictory statement,
No,
but
it's not. I know what you're saying. They just want to produce the right answer for the problem set instead of understanding how to apply these principles in the business for business scenarios. You know, when I was at MIT, like there I ran across a lot of people who really understood business and the application of knowledge to a problem in commerce, but I run across a lot of people outside of, you know, that environment now who don't really understand how what they do in a company affects the bottom line or affects commerce.
Definitely, yeah. So to answer your question, I think it's really important to have some sort of technical background. And also, as you get older and as you get more developed, it's a lot. It say let's say it's been more successful for someone who's in the more technical role, CTO role, to transition, or we'll call it the CX role. X could be technical officer, it could be scientific officer, it could be medical officer. For that technical person to transition into learning the business parts of doing a startup and building a company. And it's, you know, although there are some very talented, you know, business folks who don't have the technical expertise, crossing the other way is more challenging.
Absolutely.
And so starting with having a technical basis, and actually this is, so I'll give a little story about myself. So back in, I went to community college because I was one of those people who broke out of the bounds. I didn't do well in high school. I couldn't go straight to 4 years. So I had to go to community college. And so in my community college, I studied both biochemistry and business economics. And I actually applied out as a business major. And I got into a pretty good business school at the time. And I believe they're still one of the top ones. It was Berkeley Haas. And, you know, at the time, I was debating whether I should go study business or if I should continue, you know, doing my technical education, because it starts to diverge, especially at, you know, some of the more top schools, it's very hardcore. So I spoke to a couple really good mentors who were businessmen, mind you, very successful businessmen and women who either were physicians first, lawyers first, or engineers. And they suggested for me not to go to this top business school and actually pursue something more technical. So that's how I find myself doing biochemistry at UCSD. And I was, you know, one of, you know, less than a dozen people who actually rejected that offer to do this. And I absolutely, I want to make this very clear, I absolutely do not regret my decision, because now as I'm getting a little bit more mature and older, I'm realizing that that technical talent is so much harder to learn without with the infrastructure of institution as it is the business talent that you can learn outside of the institution.
Because I mean, all you need for business to learn business is a book and a piece of paper and a computer. But when you're learning biochemistry or biology, there's a lot of expensive equipment that's required in the lab to do experimentation and the like. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, when I went to MIT, several of my girlfriends were, you know, aerospace majors, chemical engineering major. I was an information technology and music major. So I just, you know, cared about zeros and ones. That was my lane. So I definitely get it. That's great advice. So I know we're getting close to a hard stop now. So I just want to ask, like, how can people learn more about your cutting edge telehealth company? And tell us a little bit more about what Dermos does.
Yeah, definitely. And so, like I mentioned, we're building diagnostic tools to help establish which hair growth meds work for which people. And really, the technology is versatile beyond just hair for skin, for instance, both on the face and the scalp. And so we're bringing all of these technologies, hopefully, to a barbershop and a salon near you. And so now you can go into, you know, speak to your hairstylist or your barber, your cosmetologist, and we're helping them and hooking them up with the equipment to do the analysis right then and there. And all of the analysis are sent to board certified dermatologists while you're in the salon chair. And so the dermatologist reviews the results, does a diagnostic, and actually prescribes FDA approved medications and therapeutics to help you with whatever the disease might be, whether it's hair loss, you know, atopic dermatitis, if you have severe case of dandruff, or if you have like certain fungus on the scalp or moles on the face or, you know, rashes and whatnot. So anything skin and hair is just kind of really what Dermos is trying to do, is bring the technology to an area. So bring the healthcare to the people where the people are already.
I mean, honestly, I just read a story that Costco is now about to offer primary care physician office visits for $29 a pop. And you guys are definitely, I mean, people don't want to have to get a referral and get this and get that. They want to be able to get their medication. And the only reason why that system is the way it is because of the insurance companies. And so, you know, this is definitely a disruptive technology. And I love it. I love it. I mean, I have so many ideas right now running through my head as to how a salon or a barbershop can expand their marketing efforts to hair loss and other things to monetize your technology in their salon. So holler at your girl. So how can people connect with Dermos? Can you give us the website?
Yeah, definitely. You can find us on www.dermos.com. That's derm, DermOsOse.com. You can find us on Instagram at DermosOfficial. We're also on LinkedIn. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. If there are any, aspiring entrepreneurs out there who are looking to get maybe like 15, 20-minute meeting with me and get some advice on whatever it is that they're starting, I'd be more than happy to offer whatever it's worth to help you all out. So that extends to your audience.
Well, thank you so much. It has truly been a pleasure to have you on the show, Arshan. And do you have any final words you would like to share with the audience?
Let's see. Well, other than just Dermos, I have to say that, the team and I are super excited to really bring forth this new concept of healthcare from the salon chair and from the barber chair. And so, the next time you guys go to your, get a haircut or gonna go get a facial, think about what kind of services that you want to see, readily available, whether they're dermatology, OB-GYN, or whatever it is. And definitely, please do find us on social media, LinkedIn, or Instagram, and let us know what is it that you would like to see, you have access to, and we'll work to get in there to help you out.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Arshan. You have been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening, just go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Go to SEOQueen.com and book a Reach More Clients Power session. Today, my guest has been Arshan Ahmed, and he is a co-founder of Dermos. Co-founder, and I want to make sure I remember right. I don't have my notes. Help me out here, Arshan.
Co-founder and CEO.
CEO, yes, co-founder and CEO. I didn't want to misspeak. So, co-founder and CEO, I'm so excited for you guys. I know you guys are just going to have such fabulous and fantastic success. I wish you guys the best because I tell you, I had some skin challenges this year, and I'm just so glad to know that Dermos is out there helping the masses get the healthcare that they need for their scalp. So, until next time, thank you.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. The traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. The traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.